copy of Scripture to Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Acts 4, 23. I notice that it's on page 125 in the Bibles in front of you. You know, it's always a joy to be here with you at Calvary Bible Church. I think back to when I attended here about 8 years ago, and I think of different many ways this church had a tremendous and profound impact on me. And my wife, Christy, and I, we're grateful for your prayers and for so many of you who have come down and visited or lent a hand at the church we're planting in Alexandria, Virginia. This church has been a great encouragement to us. There are three churches in particular that have really come around us and aided us and helped us and are in constant contact with us. And this is one of them. So thank you very much. Now, tonight, I don't come before you as someone with an ideal and perfect prayer life. I do come to you as somebody who's been finding out personally just how joy-giving and faith-building it is to spend time with Christ in prayer. At our church this year, one of our objectives, we've told the congregation to pray for this, to work towards this, to think about this. How can we become a praying church? Now, that's a lifetime project, but we've particularly been thinking, how can prayer be more a part of our lives? Particularly because we want to be closer to Christ, know Him, enjoy Him, be strengthened by Him, worship Him. So we've been learning a lot about prayer, myself included. And let me just give you two examples of powerful answers to prayer that have driven us to pray with renewed confidence in the Lord. And one of these illustrations is personal, and then one is for our church. It was about this time last year that my wife Christy and I applied to adopt a little baby boy or girl through an adoption agency. And then we were in a lengthy period of waiting, waiting to be paired up with the child, waiting to see if this would work out. And one afternoon, I stepped out on the porch of our home to talk to the Lord about this. I was excited and anxious and waiting, just wondering what was going to happen. And I decided to talk to the Lord. And so I'm there on the porch, and just kind of offhand, I'm really just like He's there, just having this running conversation with Him, telling Him what I'm thinking and asking for help. And at one point, I just prayed this little prayer request. I said, sort of offhand, Lord, I can't wait to meet the little boy or girl that You have prepared for us to be in our home. Now, you know that I always wanted to play soccer, and I was never really very good at it. John Stone knows that. I kicked his shins many times playing. I was never good at soccer. So, Lord, how about this? It would be really neat if the child You provided to us would like to play soccer and be pretty good at it. Do whatever You think is best, Lord. Take it or leave it. I'm just telling You what I think and what I would enjoy. Do whatever is best for Your glory. Well, a few days later, the adoption agency called us, and the social worker, you don't believe this, the first thing she says to us is this. Well, she says there's a birth mom who has chosen to place the little her little boy into your home. And the first thing she tells us about the family is, by the way, you should know the birth mom and the birth dad are both soccer players. I just about fell out of my seat. I was astounded that the Lord had heard my little silly prayer request and had been delighted to answer in some way. Now, who knows if He'll like to play soccer? I don't know. But He sure has the genes for it. That little boy is now 9 months old. He's our son, Jaden. Actually, quick testimony, we got a call from our attorney today. The state of Virginia formally finalized the adoption. Paperwork's all done. He's now legally our son as of this afternoon. So we're praising God. Well, back to the soccer illustration. The Lord sure loves to answer the prayers of His saints. One more example for our church. Not long ago, we realized that there are many combat wounded veterans from the armed services that are transported to our area to Walter Reed Medical Center to recover. And so we began praying, Lord, give us connections to these wounded warriors so we might minister the gospel to them. Just as elders and deacons, we just made this a priority. We started praying. Well, you know, just a few days later, I got a phone call from somebody. They said, there's a wounded warrior at Walter Reed, and he would be interested in a visit from a church. Can you send some of your members to go and visit him? We hadn't even had time to like look into things and make plans and strategize. So a few of our members went, got to know this fellow named Matt, a severely injured paratrooper. He'd been injured grievously in a firefight in Afghanistan. God started to work in his heart through these church members, and he gave his life to the Lord, joined our church, and he's now totally committed to Christ. And just talked to him last night. So encouraging to hear him running the race well. You see, friends, the Lord loves to hear the prayers of his saints. Now, tonight, I want to talk to you from the book of Acts a little bit about how we can become praying people. Pastor Joe asked me to share about how the Word of God and prayer are interconnected. Are there any connections to be made between our prayer life and the Scriptures? So I'd like to show you from Acts what we can learn from this one particular local church, that they really were a praying church. We're going to glimpse a prayer meeting of this very first church, the Church of Jerusalem. And you know what they did when they got together to pray? They prayed Scripture. They prayed about their desperate situation by mentioning Bible truths in their prayer. And you know, their prayer requests, they were shaped by Scripture too. Dr. Luke recorded what they prayed so that we would learn to pray like them. It's a great deal to learn. When Joe said, would you speak on word and prayer, the connection, I thought, this is a passage we've got to look at. And so from their prayer meeting, I see five lessons for us on how prayer and the Word are interconnected. My hope for you is to walk away from this passage seeing how the Bible can be a big help for praying effectively. A big help for the times that you can converse with the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's get up to speed on what's going on here in Acts chapter 4. You might know the apostles have just been arrested for preaching the gospel. The government authorities have arrested them and forbidden them from speaking of Christ publicly. So once they're released, they hurry back to the Texas to their friends. That's language for their local church. Not just the other apostles, but really to the congregation at large, to the other believers in Jerusalem. They get down on their knees and they pray about it. Let's listen in on their prayer meeting. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, here's their prayer, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, friends, here's where they quote Scripture, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Here's the request. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened? They continued to speak the word of God with boldness. These are God's words. Here's the first lesson to be learned from this prayer meeting of the Church of Jerusalem. First thing, right, if you're writing down notes, I'll give you five. The first one, pray with an open Bible. Pray with an open Bible. When you're praying, let things you're reading in the Bible, or maybe things you remember from the Bible, let them direct your prayer. Now, this doesn't mean that every time you pray, you have to sit down, open up your Bible, and pray exactly what you're finding there. What it does mean is, as much as possible, pray with verses and phrases and truths from Scripture in mind. The Church of Jerusalem models this for us very well. Let me show you how they, if you will, prayed with an open Bible. As they talked to God about their situation, you notice here, they started out by quoting a passage of Scripture in their prayer. Verses 25 and 26, maybe in your Bible they're indented or in italics or have a little footnote. That's not original thinking from the people praying. Verses 25 and 26 are actually a little bit of a lengthy quotation of the second psalm. Well, what's Psalm 2 about? Why pray that on this night? Well, Psalm 2 is about opposition to Jesus Christ. Exactly what they were experiencing. In the psalm, David predicted that rulers, political rulers, would rise up, religious rulers would rise up to oppose the Christ. Well, indeed, they had risen up and opposed the Christ. Before the apostles' very eyes, you see, Jesus had been arrested, put to death, and now the governing and religious leaders were seeking to crush the body of Christ, those who represented Christ and loved him. Opposition to them, the church, was in reality opposition to Jesus. So they prayed and they quoted from memory a passage of Scripture that has to do exactly with what they were enduring. Basically, friends, they opened up to Psalm 2 and prayed its promises for their lives. Now I want you to notice just how much the second psalm shaped everything they prayed. I just want to give you a sampling of some of the findings that I discovered here in their prayer. What ways did Psalm 2 affect their prayer? Not only did they start out just by quoting a few verses in their prayer, listen to this, they peppered words and phrases from that psalm into their prayer. Let me show you what I mean. Look down at verse 26. In my Bible, it's indented. This is from Psalm 2. Here, they quote the psalm where it says that rulers would gather together to oppose the Messiah. You notice that, gather together. Let's trace the phrase gather together through the rest of the story. Down in verse 27, the church applies the verses to their situation, and they use those exact words in their prayer. They said, Lord, in the city, rulers have, quote, gathered together against your holy servant Jesus. Well, then notice, with a nice touch, Dr. Luke, who wrote this book, uses the same words again in verse 31. He records that the place where they were, quote, gathered together, well, it was shaken by God. The language of Psalm 2 fills the story and the prayer. Let me show you another instance where they borrowed language from Scripture and prayed it. If we were to pray tonight about the Lord Jesus, there are just a host of names for Christ that we could use. Well, let's see how they chose the names they chose to pray about him. They chose to use the exact name for Jesus that Psalm 2 used. Now look down at verse 26. Again, in my Bible, it's indented, and it says again at the very end that rulers would gather together against the Lord, that's God the Father, and against his anointed. Notice that word anointed. That's the word Messiah. It's the word Christ. We call him Jesus Christ. It's not his last name. It's a title which refers to Jesus as the King, the anointed one. So people would come one day and oppose God the Father's plan and the one he anointed, Jesus Christ. Well, look in their prayer. Trace down to verse 27. They pray, for truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. There's the anointing language again. So the believers refer to Jesus with the same language that was mentioned in the psalm they're praying. They got that language from Psalm 2. My point of showing you these little things, we trace a word from the psalm into the prayer, is just to say, it's remarkable how much the language of the psalm shaped what they prayed, down to the words and phrases they employed. It's almost like they had their Bibles open while they prayed. It would have been a little impractical for them because their Bibles were these big, heavy scrolls. You had to be pretty wealthy to have one. They really didn't do that, so it was all committed to memory. This was a scripture-saturated prayer. So, by way of application, when I say pray with an open Bible, what I mean is, when you start to pray, try building your prayer around a Bible passage, Bible story, maybe a Bible promise that you found lately that's precious to you. Think of something in the Bible that relates to the situation you're praying about, and pray it. Quite a number of you who prayed just in that Russian prayer time did that. I heard most people, not that you have to do this, but most people quoted or alluded to a passage of Scripture and built their prayer around that. Pastor Joe read, you know, a few verses as he was praying. So the first lesson for prayer from this church, just build your prayers around truths from Scripture. It'll help you know what to pray. This really helps me because I don't always know what to pray. So pray with an open Bible. Now, secondly, the second lesson for prayer and prayer for us is this. Tie your prayer requests to Scripture. Tie your prayer requests to Scripture. Another thing is I don't know what to pray to get started oftentimes. But other times, I'm not sure what to pray for a person that's in a tough situation. Do I pray for healing? Do I pray for strength of their soul? Do I pray for the family? What should I pray? I don't know what God's plan is for that person. So what in the world should I be praying for them? This next lesson helps us with that. Tie your requests to Scripture. Friends, one of the biggest surprises here is what the church asks for. I tell you, think about it with me. It's quite astonishing. If Pastor Joe and Pastor Rodney were threatened by the government for sharing the gospel and arrested, taken down to the county courthouse, what do you think we'd be praying here tonight? We'd be on our knees saying, Lord, keep our pastors out of prison. Stop the government from trying to suppress the gospel. I think we'd probably be kind of anxious, kind of angry. But friends, it's certainly not wrong to pray for an end to persecution. They asked for something entirely different. I don't think this is what I'd be praying if I were in their shoes. Listen to verse 29. It doesn't say, now, Lord, release our pastors from prison and keep others from out of prison. It says, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed, through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They asked for courage to tell people about Jesus. They asked for courage to tell people about Jesus. And they asked the Lord to perform miraculous signs and wonders and healings to prove to the people they were preaching to that the gospel really is true. What led them to pray for effective witnessing instead of safety and persecution? Well, I think the answer is the Word of God. The second psalm guided them on what to pray for. It set the agenda for their prayer and took their prayer in a different direction than I think we might have prayed if it was just us in that situation. You see, if we were to go back to Psalm 2, if we had the time to examine it, we'd see that the last half of Psalm 2 promises that no amount of opposition can possibly stop the Father's plan to exalt His Son as ruler over all things. That's the great promise of Psalm 2. Governments and nations may rage and fight, but Christ will be exalted over the holy hill of Zion and over all the earth. It is inevitable. Jesus will reign. And really, that's what the early church prayed for, isn't it? I mean, if you break it down, in essence, they were asking for courage and effectiveness in sharing the gospel of Christ so that our Lord would be exalted in people's eyes, just as the psalm promised. I mean, you've got Jewish people in the city, you've got people from all these nations who've come in for Pentecost, and people have been saved. It's just a maelstrom and a melee of people in the city from all over the world. They're praying, help us get the word to these people so they'll worship Jesus. I mean, if it takes miracles to prove it to them, will you do it? They're praying, exalt Christ. They're praying for people to treasure Christ. So, brothers and sisters, what can we learn about prayer requests from them? Well, whenever possible, tie your requests to Scripture. Look in the Bible for promises of God, character qualities of His, maybe hints of His plan. Then pray for God to act based on those things. So to illustrate, say money is tight. I mean really, really tight. You're starting to sweat. By all means, pray. Pray for God to provide your daily bread. He promises to. But also look up other passages written for those who are in physical need, financial need. You come to Matthew 6, this whole chapter about trusting God who clothes the lilies and the birds, and you'll find Matthew 6:33, which says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, the basic staples of life, they'll be provided for you. So in addition to just praying, Lord, provide my next paycheck, provide the payment for the house, if you were thinking of Matthew 6:33, you might pray, Lord, You promise that if I seek Your kingdom above all, if I focus on serving You and being all about You, You'll provide my basic necessities. So in this crunch time, would You help me be all about You and Your kingdom and Your Son? I need provision, but I need to want You more and I need to serve You more. Help me do that. And I know if I'm all about Your kingdom, You'll provide my every need. So sometimes tying your request to Scripture might change a little bit what you're praying for. You might end up not just asking for provision, but you might end up asking for a heart for God. And why? Because the money's tight. Now, it's possible to misunderstand what it means to tie a request to Scripture. It could seem that if you quote a verse or throw a Bible passage into your prayer, that, well, you've said the magic words. You've rubbed the genie's lamp, and presto, whatever you asked for has happened because you prayed Scripture. It's not exactly how it works. Instead, here's what happens when you're praying and your prayers are increasingly based on Scripture. When you're talking to God in prayer, and He hears you express back to Him promises and truths He's revealed in His Word, well, that shows you've been listening to Him. It's deepening that relationship that you have with Him. His Word is shaping what you ask for. You're starting to ask for not just good things, but the better things. And so God is disposed to honor your request when your prayers show that you desire the things He desires. You're caught up in His values, His promises, His plan. I would be amiss if I gave you the impression that tying your request to Scripture would somehow earn God's favor. It doesn't do that. Instead, what's happening is you're learning to pray for the things that are God's will because you're looking in Scripture. What should I pray here? And so you're finding what is revealed in the Bible and you're asking for that. As a result, your prayers are more effectively answered. You're asking for the best things. Tie your request to Scripture. I see a third lesson here from the prayer meeting. This one helps me. I can be pretty anxious about things. Praying Scripture gets your eyes off your worries and on God. Praying based on Scripture gets your eyes off your worries and on God. Do you sense any panic or anxiety or fear at this prayer meeting? I mean, I'm sure they were concerned. But to me, it seems like they were far more fired up and eagerly expecting for God to work mightily. What was it that was settling down their hearts? Once again, it was Scripture. Since they were praying through Psalm 2, really they had concluded there's nothing to worry about. Actually, everything in our lives is going according to plan. I mean, God promised opposition in Psalm 2. People would set themselves up against the Anointed One. But in the end, they'd be crushed. I mean, look down at verse 27. Notice the confidence they have, because they're looking at Scripture before they pray. Verse 27. There's just a number of hints that they're praying with God's control in mind. They say here, they pray about God's hand in verse 28. His plan, verse 28. What He had predestined to take place. I mean, they're realizing the plot to crucify Jesus and crush His church was no surprise to God. And so when persecution hit, it didn't overwhelm them. The psalm told them, oh, this is what comes next. This is the way the adversary works. And this is the plan of God. They were like, whoa, it's all happening as God promised. So friends, praying Scripture helps make sense of a confused situation. Praying Scripture helps make sense of a confused situation. Gets our eyes off our emotions and our hearts, and it grounds us deeply in God and His plan. Fourthly, just two more here. Fourthly, I want you to see God delights to answer prayer based on His Word. He delights to do it. So praying with Scripture in mind helps you pray for the right things so your prayers are more effectively answered. And I tell you, God fulfilled everything these dear believers prayed for. They are praying for the best things. You know, the church at Jerusalem, they had the audacity to pray for a miracle. I mean, their prayer request was, Lord, perform a miracle. And they actually used the word in verse 30. Well, not the word miracle, but stretch out your hand. Heal, signs, wonders performed. I mean, they said, Lord, give us courage to speak the word. And then do miraculous things to prove that it's true. And so, since they asked for something in line with Scripture, for Christ to be exalted through their words, they didn't ask timidly. I mean, that's pretty bold and audacious. God, perform a miracle here. You need to stretch out your hand right now and do this. I mean, look how resoundingly from heaven the Lord answered. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, there's an immediate answer here. The place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And then there was a continuing effect here, continuing answer. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. I think this shaking and trembling of the prayer meeting location is an indication from God that He was going to answer this prayer request big time. Then the Holy Spirit empowered them, just as they asked, you know, to speak the word of God boldly. I mean, if we were to flip through the rest of the book of Acts tonight, we'd see this answered resoundingly with power. Thousands of people came to have a relationship with God through His Son. Believers performed miracles that convinced people the gospel is true. Then the first missionaries of the church were sent out. You know, they preached boldly, with the result that church after church after church was planted. Why did God so affirmatively answer their prayer? Why? They had listened to Him and prayed His will back to Him. They had looked at Scripture and seen what God desires to do and prayed for that to happen. So the Father was delighted to answer. So, brothers and sisters, what we're seeing here with the answer to prayer, when you ask for things that are in accordance with Scripture, pray boldly. I mean, even in a way that seems a bit reckless to you. Why? Because God loves to answer prayers that are based in His revealed will. They actually prayed for a miracle, and God fulfilled their request many times. In our church, Scripture has helped Grace Church of Alexandria overcome a lot of timidness we've had in prayer. The more our churches learn to pray for things in line with Scripture, the more answers to prayer we've seen. What happens then? Well, our faith is increased. As a result, we're more bold to go to God in prayer, and more prayers are being answered. Pray boldly, pray recklessly, based on Scripture. Well, I see one more lesson in prayer in the Word for us. Here it is. Number 5, pray for God's Word to go forth effectively. Pray for God's Word to go forth effectively. The prayer meeting here teaches us not only should we pray the Word to have effective prayers, but let's switch that a little bit. Pray for the Word to be effective wherever, whenever it is spoken. Verse 29, they ask at the end, grant your servants to continue to speak your Word with all boldness. The Jerusalem church was asking God to bless their ministry of the Word. And I got thinking, one of the most frequent prayer requests recorded in the Bible is where believers prayed that they would be able to speak God's Word boldly. And after they spoke it, that the Word would be effective in those who hear it. Started making a list. I was trying to think, what passage do I preach when it comes to prayer and the effectiveness of the Word? Goodness, I had several sheets of paper with all these prayers where people pray for the Word of God to go forth. And I had to choose one of them to preach. There's a list. I mean, Colossians 4:3. Pray for us that God may open a door for the Word to declare the mystery of Christ. 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2. Brothers, pray for us that the Word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored. So why should we pray that the Word will have great effect whenever it's spoken? Well, here's why. Even when we speak God's words to somebody, we're not able to change a single person's heart, not even our own. Friends, we can read it, we can preach it, we can witness with it, but we can't change one heart. That only happens as a gracious work of the Holy Spirit of God. So, brothers and sisters, anytime someone from this church is speaking God's words, pray that it will go forth effectively and bear much fruit. Here's what this can look like for you. On Saturday nights, it would be great if some of you set aside time to pray for your pastors and Sunday school teachers who are going to deliver the Word on Sundays. Pray regularly for your children's ministry workers who will tell the little ones about Jesus. I mean, so much of what we do as Christians, think about it, witnessing, discipleship, encouraging another believer. Well, it's all word ministry. So there's a lot to pray for. I mean, take parenting, for example. We parents, Deuteronomy 6 calls us to deliver God's words to our children, to speak of it when we rise and when we sit and when we walk, by the way. But we still can't change our child's hearts. We've just got to get down on our knees and ask the Lord to cause the word we've quoted, taught, modeled, and instructed to our children, that those words would just sink in and change them. That's something only God can do. Along these lines, Donald Miller, he wrote a fabulous book on prayer called A Praying Life. Best book on prayer I've ever read, Praying Life. He said this, I've done my best parenting when I've talked less to my kids prayed more. I'm my best parenting when I've talked less to my kids and prayed more. He's not saying stop speaking the Word of God, stop disciplining, stop instructing. He's saying you've got to mingle that with prayer because you can't change a heart. He can. Well, that's what they were praying for here. Let the Word go forth boldly and effectively. So friends, pray for everyone who ministers the Word of God in any way, shape, or form here, that it would go forth effectively. Let's take our cues from the Jerusalem church that prayed for this. Now, there are quite a few other tips on prayer we could talk about from this passage, but a few of you asked me if we were going to end in time for you to go home and see the presidential debate. So, time to wrap up. This evening, we've seen that from beginning to end, this prayer meeting in the early church was filled with Scripture. It was shaped by Scripture. And I tell you, they didn't just pray. They prayed with the Bible in mind. The Lord answered from heaven, a mightily resounding answer. I was trying to think of how to end this. Maybe some questions for you to think about. Examine your own prayer life. But I just got to tell you an answer to prayer that I experienced recently. I was actually typing this talk up. And I typed those words, pray boldly, even in a way that seems a bit reckless. Pray that way from Scripture. And I thought, well, I need to practice what I preach. Am I really a person of faith? Do I really believe God will answer my prayers? So I just paused and said, Lord, let me pray about something that our church needs to be doing, which seems pretty tough. I said, Lord, you tell us in the Great Commission, Matthew 28. I quoted it. We're to make disciples of all the nations. You know, go make disciples, baptize, teaching them to observe everything. So I prayed that, and I said, there are so many different ethnicities that live in our city that the Grace Church has barely begun to reach. And there's Afghans, there's Ethiopians, there's Hispanics, there are so many different ethnicities. But Lord, if we're going to be faithful to that passage, we need to get up and go seek them out and love people different than us. So Lord, would you please raise up people in our church this year who will do that? They'll lead the way. They'll love people who look different than them, who eat different than them, who are from different places, so that we can take the gospel effectively to the nations who are living on our doorstep. And my friends, there are so many ethnicities to choose from. In our public school, we meet in a public school on Sundays. It's an elementary school. There are kids from 60 different countries. They speak 90 languages. I'm telling you, the nations are there, and I just chose one. I said, Lord, would you raise up people in our church to help us reach the Turks in our area? A lot of people from Turkey moved from Turkey. Well, I was very specific, and I didn't know what would happen. About 3 hours later, I got an email. Someone wrote from our church to say they're burdened specifically for the Turks who live near our church. Just about fell out of my chair again. They had developed a several-step plan to share with me that would get Grace Church reaching out to the Turks in our city. They wanted to get started that Sunday, share it with the congregation. And they couldn't wait to tell me about this idea for reaching Turks to see if I would be interested in it. Boy, was I interested. Truly, friends, the Lord delights to answer prayers that are in line with His Word. Let's get busy praying Scripture. Let's get bold in praying Scripture and praying that the Word of God would go forth effectively. These are prayers that the Lord would be delighted to answer if we would ask Him. Let's pray. Why don't you stand with me as we approach the Lord? Heavenly Father, the psalmist learned how good it is to go to you in prayer. He said in Psalm 116, I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because He turned His ear to me, I will call on the Lord as long as I live. Oh, Father, would you make us people like the psalmist who come to treasure you and your Son and your Spirit so much that they cannot wait to spend time with you. They love digging in your Word. They love talking to you. Make us people like that. Would you plant in us the desire to cry out often to you, to bring our burdens and requests to you, to let Scripture shape what we're asking? Would you lead our prayers to be wise and godly so that they would be answered, which would in turn fuel up and stoke our faith so that we might pray more boldly and more often? We thank you for this great privilege of prayer, which Jesus Christ purchased for us by his blood. What a costly purchased gift. But what a precious gift that we have access by one Spirit to God. And we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Thank you, Lord, for your word, which tells us how to pray. And just by all these answered prayers, just provokes us and invites us to pray. Help us, Lord. Help these dear friends that they would taste and see in prayer how good you are. That you would be their all in all. We pray these things in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.